last year, which I encourage you to listen to, it's on the web, and will be in the quiz, we talked about when does childbirth begin, right? Now, why do I care when childbirth begins? Oh, first of all, I apologize. Today is officially Israel being recognized as Yom HaZikaron, Memorial Day for the soldiers who've fallen in not only in combat, but you know, fallen defending the state of Israel, and for they added the word of Nifgai Pulat Eiva, and any of the victims of terror attacks, so today we should make a shir. So this year should be dedicated to the Ilui Neshama of all those people who gave their lives. Okay, fine. So we talked about why do I care when a woman officially is declared a Yoledes. So that's what we want to know about. The term is Yoledes. Why do we care?
Yoledes is someone giving birth.
Someone who is giving birth, a birthing woman. The English does not really work so well, but I think it's called, you actually, it's just a strange verb, in my opinion. I don't like to say it.
Birthing.
Birthing process, whatever. This is a birthing woman, a woman giving birth. So we talked about there are three stages, there are three simanim. You can listen to that cheer and exactly when they are. Why do we care? Because at the moment that she becomes a yoledes, she is a chola sheyesh ba sakana. Right, sheyesh ba sakana. This is, the Gemara describes her as such. We're not asking the doctor, is she a chola sheyesh ba sakana? The Gemara describes her. And therefore, what can we do for her if she's a chola sheyesh ba sakana?
Anything goes. Anything goes.
Except for Rav Odeh Zarah.
Except for Rav Odeh Zarah, she becomes down in Gilei Arayis. I don't think she's going to be in the mood for any Gilei Arayis at this point. We should also not do Shvichas Zavim, that's not a good thing. Finds a chola sheyesh ba sakana, and she also becomes Nina. Right, so just briefly, because last time about a woman, and just assuming you guys don't know anything about Nida, so if you do, I apologize. Briefly, a woman who gets her normal menstrual period becomes Nida. She is Tmeya until she stops bleeding and then has to stop. She has to check herself, then again, for a certain amount of time, depending on her status, she goes to the mikvah, and then only then can she be with her husband. While she's Nida, she cannot be with her husband, they cannot sleep in the same bed, so they cannot have relations. That's in the Torah. They can also not touch each other, sleep in the same bed, eat from the same bowl, share certain utensils, okay? Can't hold hands. So, Vignafkamina, once she becomes a Yoledes, she's now also Nida, right? So, it's going to be Nafkamina also, not only can were we going to now Bechal Shabbos if we need to for her, but the husband cannot touch her anymore. So, it's going to be relevant. So, also just a caveat that we mentioned before, but it's important to repeat. So, all of these simanim that are going to, what we talked about last time, happened pretty late into the birthing process, right? Women frequently today go to the hospital when they're having contractions, right? The uterus just starts to contract, it's a muscle, it contracts, it pushes the baby out, and it starts randomly, and then they go 10 minutes apart, and they get slower and slower, they get faster. It takes a long time until they get fast, closer and closer together, and eventually, the woman can push the baby out. What also has to happen is the cervix, is the opening of the uterus has to dilate, has to open up, right? Because the baby's head can fit through. It's closed during most of the pregnancy, and then it always has to reach 10 centimeters. So, until all the simanim happen, it's going to be pretty late. You're not going to want to go to the hospital then, because it might be too late, the baby might, depending on how far away the hospital is. So all the poskim say the following. In terms of going to the hospital, so you're going to drive to the hospital, let's say, that's a deraisa, right? Will allow you to do whatever you need to do to make a safe situation. So the drive to the hospital, you call your doctor, whenever your doctor says go to the hospital, different people, depending on their condition, depending on what number of child it is, As the woman has more and more children, usually the childbirth is shorter, right? So from beginning to end, it's going to be shorter. So they want you to come in earlier to make sure you're there for the whole process, right? Okay, and so you can go in as early as the doctor thinks you need to be there. You can drive in, even though she's not a full sheyesh ba sakana yet, but she will be, and you're avoiding a potential problem. So you can do that once you get there, and you're being monitored. So then you have to wait to do anything else. Meaning anything that you can wait to do, you should do. But you have to use your seichel. It doesn't make sense to wait to drive until the very last minute. I think I told the story last semester, but sometimes it's going to happen very, very quickly. My third son was born on Shabbos morning. I went to shul at 7:30. And at around 8:30, two kids from my building showed up at shul. They said, your wife needs you. So I went home. I called Hatzalah at 8:34, and they delivered a baby in my bedroom at 8:38. Yeah. So this can happen quickly, and we could have, we should have called himself. We didn't know it happened so quickly that at that point you couldn't go to the hospital. So you want to call, make sure you're in the hospital early. So also in terms of getting to the hospital, what is the best way to get to the hospital? Get a good drive you. This is New York City. Call a cab. Right? Especially if you're calling enough in advance. The doctor will not... will
use it for you.
Even if it's ultra, you should have a good drive. Even if it's ultra, you can drive, right? If it's ultra, you can drive. What are you going to do with the car once you get there? You're going to pull up and then do what? You have to turn it off. You have to park it. You're going to have all sorts of problems. This is New York City. There's a cab. The doctor will usually say, okay, come in now. It doesn't mean like right this second. It means you have a little bit of window of opportunity, so you can call a cab. The cab will come. This is Washington Heights. When they say 1 minute, 2 minutes, the car will be here in 1 minute, 2 minutes. You won't waste any time. You can go take a cab. There's no reason not to take a cab. That's the best way to go. Fine.
Dude, would the hospital, there's some person at the hospital park your car for you?
Yeah, it's valet. Right? So, Columbia has valet, always. I think Maimonides has valet just on Shabbos, just to accommodate this. But if there's valet, so then you have less issues. But if you think it's the Julio, so then you should certainly use a cab. But if there's a valet, you definitely avoid a lot of these issues. And I think Shari Tzedek has a Daisha valet on Shabbos to avoid this issue. It just makes it easier because in Israel, the cabs are not as easily available because you don't want to take a Jewish cab. And not everyone wants to take an Arab cab. So you're running out of options, and so more people drive to the hospital in Israel than they would otherwise. Okay. Fine.
Last question.
Sure.
How has death during childbirth
how
is it lessened?
Okay. Next point. Okay, hold your question because it'll answer the next question. So we also talked about Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, whether you need to do a shinui or not. So we saw the Gemara, and we looked at it last time, on Shabbos Kuf Kaf Ches, that if a woman in labor needs oil, right, you're supposed to carry the oil in your hand, and if not, not enough, they carry it in your hair. And if you carry it in your hair, then if you can't carry it in your hair, then you carry it in the jug, right? So we know that by Yoledes, you need to do a shinui, right? You can't just do the malafa, you can't carry it normally. You have to do a shinui. So what do you learn from this? You have to do a shinui for your yoledes. So the Ramban says, right, we talked about this in earlier year. The Ramban says, well, yoledes is a chola sheyesh basakana, right? The Gemara just got finished telling us. And because it's a chola sheyesh basakana, you have to do a shinui. You see that you always have to do a shinui whenever you can, for any chola sheyesh basakana, you must do a shinui. Whereas the Rambam says, no, a chola sheyesh basakana, you don't need a shinui. Yoledes is different.
Right.
So why is yoledes different? So the Rambam just says it's natural. The Meiri and the Magen Mishnah say, yeah, you know why? Afilu achas be'elef ein ha-mesa. Even one in a thousand don't actually die. Right? Sakana means death. Right? Danger of death. Even already in the time of the Magen Mishnah and the Meiri, women were not dying as frequently in labor. Today it happens very infrequently that a woman dies in labor. It can't happen. Right? More often than, I think it's more often that the baby dies as a result. It doesn't happen so often either. But these things happen. Because it's so infrequent or it's natural, we even the mechaber who says you don't need a shinui by a chol sheyesh bo sakana requires a shinui by a yoledes. Okay.
Why is the Rambam called?
He's not the mechaber. No, the Shulchan Aruch is called the mechaber. Mechaber means the author. So you're hearing the authors of the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, but the mechaber is of the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam, the like 1100, something like that. The Shulchan Aruch was written in 10 points. Okay. So, what can you do for this woman? Oh, this isn't my. This is somebody else's. Somebody else logged in and didn't log out.
What's
wrong? I already saved the PDF, the Gemara.
On your log.
On mine. It's still there. Fine. So what can you do for this woman? So anything, right? Seems like she's a cholos yesh basakana. You can do anything you need, right? Sounds like that, right? Cholos yesh basakana, you can do anything you need. You have to do a shinui when you can do a shinui. See? You have to do a shinui when you can do a shinui. The Gemara gives a very interesting example of what you can do for her. So it says if you need oil. I have no idea why they need oil for childbirth. I can come up with some random things, but it's completely made up. I'm sure you can come up with things. They needed oil for whatever reason. Okay, they thought it was necessary, so you could bring the oil. What else can you bring? So, here it is. Save the third desktop. How wonderful. Right, so this is the Gemara in Shabbos, Tuf Kaf Ches Amud Beis.
So this Mishnah is talking about what you can do for a woman on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says...
can I ask a good question?
Yeah.
Why do you mention Nida?
Oh, because the Gemara really talks about Nida. When you, what the stages of labor are defined as when she becomes Nida. Most people assume that's also when she becomes a Kol Sheikh. She gave Shmas Akana. At that point, she attains both statuses. But it's just a fact. You just be aware of it. Then it's halacha lemaisa that at that point, then the husband can't touch a wife anymore. Fine. So this Mishnah says you can't give birth to an animal on Yom Tov, but help, whatever that means, not my issue. Fine. Umiyalgin Sa'isha b'Shabbos. You can birth a woman on Shabbos. Like whatever the midwife does, whatever verb you want to assign to the midwife, she can do that on Shabbos, or the doctor, but right? The Kori Lachachami Babu Lamoko, and you can go and call the midwife from wherever she is, even if it's Chum and even if she has to go far. And you can mechal Shabbos, right? Because the Chol Sheikh Masakana. Okay? So what do you do? The Koshin Patibur, and you can also tie the umbilical cord. Rabbi Yossi Omer, you can even cut the umbilical cord, right? Because being cut the umbilical cord, that would just be bad. The Chol Tzachar Mila also merely do on Shabbos. Okay? You can birth an animal. You're not supposed to birth an animal on Shabbos, you can birth a woman on Shabbos, and merely you should do on Shabbos. Baby making you can, and then Mila also. Okay, so that's interesting. So the Gemara says like this. So Michbi, let's see. Tana le miyalgin esayisha, the kardal chachamim imakon lamakon. Right? It says, you birth the woman, and you call the midwife. Okay? So, umechalon alasha Shabbos, and you violate Shabbos. So why did the Mishnah say, and you violate Shabbos? It already told you can do everything you need. So why do you have to add the phrase, and you violate Shabbos? Lasuyemai. What is that coming to add? Right? The Mishnah already said, birth the woman. So, okay, whatever's required in birthing her and calling the midwife. Right? Okay, so if you're doing all of these things, so then what does the Mishnah add? Umechan alas Shabbos? Lasuyemai. And Rabbanan. Imai katzrichal aner, chavertu madlekas lasaner. If she needs a light, if it's dark, right? Imagine women give birth at night also. And it's dark, and she needs a candle lit, so you light the candle. Right? Right? And then if she needs oil, you bring oil. Right? Oh, first of all, if you make something in your hand, then you bring it in your hair. If you make something with sarim, reveal it to plead. Okay, that's what we talked about. If you need the oil, you have to do it machinery. You carry the oil in the palm of your hand, not the jug of oil, the actual oil. If not enough, you carry it in your hair, whatever that means, either pour it into your hair, or carry the jug in the woman's hair, or something that's machinery, and if not, you carry it in a jug. Fine, okay. So the Gemara says, what did I understand? Amar Mar, imay tasrichal aner, chaver tamad lekas las aner. Right, we said, if she needs a candle lit, so then her friend lights a candle for her. So the Gemara says, shita, duh, I can do everything else, it's dark, she can't, we said, miyal v'na sa'isha, you birthed the woman. Now it's dark. So how are you going to do this otherwise? Of course you light a candle. You can do everything else. Of course you light a candle. She can't see what she's doing. What's the point of her being there? So he says, Lo tzricha besuma. No, we're talking about a blind woman giving birth. And she wants a candle lit. Okay, interesting. Ma'u detenva, keve de lochazia osir, kamash malan, isuva miyamse daika. You say, it doesn't make it. She goes, no, we should need to light a candle so she can, so everyone can see. Now the woman who's yelling, saying that the woman who's giving birth is blind, right? We say, well, who cares? We can't tell if we live or not. No, we need to make her a suve daika, right? There's something called yishuv hadas. Have your mind set at ease. We have to set her mind at ease, right? She might say, "Savra yigam midi chazi chaverta ve'avdali." She's going to be nervous that if there's no candle lit, then the midwife might need something and won't know that it's there, and she might need something and not realize that she doesn't have it, and she'll get all nervous. So she needs Yisuve Daita, right? This woman is blind. The light is not going to help her in any way because she can't see.
The big one?
The woman in labor is blind, right? You have a blind laboring woman, and she says, oh, we need a candle lit, light a candle. And everyone else is like, we don't really need a candle lit. I think it's light enough, I'll be okay, I'll manage, I know what I'm doing. And she's like, don't worry about it, there's no sakana. The doctor tells you, don't worry, you don't need the candle. I got it. And they say, no, but she's so nervous, We're going to light the candle to calm her down. We'll light a candle on Shabbos, which is a Daraisa, to make sure Yisuvei Daita, for Misiv Daita, for Yishuv Adas, we're going to light the candle. It sounds like when it's even medically unnecessary. Right? It's just for her mental state. Okay? That's what it sounds like.
It
sounds
like Shar Tzrachav or something?
Maybe this is Shar Tzrachav. Maybe this is a reason of Shar Tzrachav. Right? It could be. I think Shar Tzrachav is even more. Shar Tzrachav is like, make chicken soup for a sick person. He's at least benefiting in some way, physically. This woman's not benefiting in any way. We're putting her at ease. Now, we could easily just lie to her and tell her, right? Oh, we lit a candle. She won't know the difference. Right? Because she's blind, remember. But we're not going to lie to her. We're going to do it. Meaning, because it sounds like it's even more broad than Shar Tzrachav. You could make that argument. You could say this is Shar Tzrachav. You could make an argument it's broad. Yeah. Right, so realize that you're doing both things. You're saying, well, birth is a natural thing, and therefore, even though you don't have normally have to make a shinui, here you have to, because it's natural, we're going to be machmir, and because it's natural, we want to be mekel also. Uh-huh. So I think that makes sense, though. You realize we're going both extremes. Right. It doesn't go together.
In other words, it's a different, I guess,
it's different.
The common denominator is that it's a different type.
Right, and also realize that a woman in this state is also very hormonal. Right? They were aware of that. They didn't know, they couldn't call it hormonal, but they realized that a woman, I don't know what they called it, but like, whatever it was, women in the 9th month as they're giving birth, they're not like, I don't mean any disrespect.
They had to bring a
korban chatas. One of the women from Rashi quotes, why bring a korban chatas? Because she likely said something in childbirth that she's going to regret. Right? She probably said in childbirth, I never want to have children again. And she'll regret that, so she has to bring a korban chatas on the Shavuot. Right? And the Chazal were aware, we call it hormones, they called it, I don't know what they called it, but they were aware that a woman is not in her complete mental state when this is happening. Okay? And there's a natural reason for it. Maybe she wouldn't do it if she was. The fact that women continue to do this for thousands and thousands of years is astonishing. I always thought that if it was up to the men, the civilization would have ended long ago. But like, okay, maybe that's necessary for the part of it, so look, this is, it's easy to make an argument that Yishuv Adas should apply more to the laboring woman than to a regular chol. If you want to make that argument, I think it makes a lot of sense. And certainly here we're going to allow. Now what does it mean, Yishuv Adas? That's just she wants the television on. We turn the television for her also? What do you think? She's like, I need to calm down. I need a television. Yeah, so is that Shar Tzrachav even? First of all, for the Mechaber, we're going to have to worry about Shar Tzrachav. For the Ramah, we're going to say it's not Shar Tzrachav, right? We're going to allow it only if it's really, really necessary. And even for the Mechaber, we saw Shar Tzrachav have to be something that you need. So most poskim are going to say, even here, for Yishuv Adas, it's something that's going to relate to her care. So why does she want the light on? That they'll take better care of her. The TV is different. If you look at the woman and say, really, you know, I really think she's going to lose it. Then you turn on TV, right? I mean, you have to just, ahead of me, we're asking the question in a very sterile environment. In Bishas Maisa, when it's happening, so you have to judge whether this is really going to be a problem or not, and not making a call on any specific woman, but just in general, you would say no. I think the general rule would be no. In extreme circumstances, yeah. If she's, like, completely flipping out and not able to push.
It's possible there's stupid people these days.
Right, but let's say, look, the woman's not able to push, right? Right? The woman has to be an active participant in the labor. She has to push the baby out. Now let's say she's been in labor for 36, 70, been in labor for a long time, and she is tired, and she is losing it. And she hasn't eaten, because they don't like to let women eat in labor, why not?
Well, because it interferes with the
if we give her some painkillers, it may be a problem, or if we have to give her anesthesia, look, we don't want to do a cesarean section, to cut open the stomach, cut open the uterus, take a baby out. But if we do, she's going to need anesthesia, and we don't want her to eat, because then she could choke, it's not going to be good. So she hasn't eaten. She's been eating ice chips.
How does the person choke with anesthesia?
If you lose a little bit of control over your muscles, we're afraid that you might vomit and then swallow into your trachea. So we don't let her eat. So she's been eating ice chips for the last 36 hours. She's tired. She's losing it because of her whole hormonal thing. And we're saying, look, if this doesn't happen in the next whatever, we're going to do a C-section. Which is halachically defined as a suck on, it's a surgery. We don't want to do it. So then maybe you would say, okay, if she needs to calm down, turning on the TVs and calm her down, maybe that's appropriate to avoid the C-section. Right? Maybe that would be. So I'm not saying every case, but the general rule would be normal things.
The doctors say this against it.
Right, I don't know. You have to. If a doctor who's Yari Shamani says she needs it, then I'm okay with it. But a lot of doctors are Mazal, don't care about the Shabbos, and they're like, what's the big deal? It's a TV, it's not really work. They're like, oh, you can't do any work on Shabbos, you can't flip the switch, it's really a lot of work, heavy lifting. And then Mazal's like, if you have a doctor who's from, any doctor who's from, who cares about Shabbos and says she needs it.
No,
I'm saying I'm not limiting it to that case, but I'm saying certainly in that case. In the case where a doctor who cares about Shabbos and keeps Shabbos and says, I know it's Shabbos, but nonetheless, this would be really helpful, then okay. It's not just, you have to judge. I mean, you have to make sure they're not just saying Shabbos is just, this whole thing is just silly. If it's a real concern, it's a real concern. I'm just saying it's sometimes easier to tell if it's a real concern if the person cares about Shabbos. Sometimes you have to ask another couple of questions otherwise. I'm not negating that. It's just, you have to make sure. Yeah.
What about if it's like a much more like mentally traumatic childbirth? Let's say it's like 2 months premature. Are there different standards for what you're
Absolutely, because her mental state is going to be relevant. That's why I said I'm not making a general rule. We're talking about a healthy woman in the 9th month giving birth after 40 weeks. We should generally say, is it mutter? No. Are there exceptions? Yes.
Right.
Okay, for each of us. So what about Yishuvat? So two other points of Yishuv Hadas that we'll talk about. Do I have it later? Let's talk about it now. We'll just skip this part first. This part's interesting. Okay, so before we talk about one example of Yishuv Hadas is, so
every woman gets an IV. You go into the now it's in vogue. Women want to plan their labors. And what that means is you can tell them, I want to be able to walk, I want to be able to do this, I want to eat, and you have a whole, like, it's a very, they want it to be more natural or not natural, or with it, but there are women that want to be a lot more in control.
Okay? So that's a vogue thing nowadays, that women want to be very much in control. Some doctors go for that, some doctors are like, no, this is a medical procedure, I'm the doctor, I'm in control, and if you want to be in control, find the doctor. Okay, different doctors, different things. I think the majority of women just do whatever the doctor tells them to do, because if the doctor is saying, it's okay, but I'm more comfortable this way, you don't want to, you'd rather your doctor be more comfortable than less comfortable, especially. So most women come to the hospital and they're not planning or whatever, they don't have a plan, a birth plan it's called. So you get an IV. Why do you get an IV?
Hydration.
Okay, hydration is one reason. Yes, you need to be hydrated.
Easy to administer things.
Easy to administer, what am I giving her?
Anesthetics
means epidural, okay. Hydration has not necessarily been shown to be necessary. Okay? We do it, unclear why it's necessary. If she needs an epidural, we could do it when she needs the epidural. We don't need to do it when she comes into the hospital. She goes into the room, she gets an IV. It's completely unnecessary. Right? Say, oh, but if there's an emergency C-section...
Why? Because she's sick.
Right. So, yeah. Practically, that's what it's going to come down to. Because if you say she needs an emergency C-section, that doesn't really happen. You usually have time. It's usually not an issue. So why do we do it? So who cares? So what's the problem with giving an IV? So this is the...
You're making a person leave.
How are you making a person leave?
Yeah,
it's more so, but I don't really want that one. So this is really the blood shear, but we'll transition to this after. When you use an IV, and you ever have an IV put in as opposed to blood draw? When you draw blood, there's something called a butterfly, right? You have a needle. It's a very large needle, right? And it has these like two things to hold like this, and then two, right? And this needle goes into your vein, and the blood goes into the tube. Yeah? Yeah, you're like, I knew that I needed to draw. But okay, but an IV works a little bit differently. So most IVs, you could use this butterfly to use an IV. Right, you can also put fluid in that way. You can, if it can come out, it can come in. Most IVs work in the following way. An IV needs to stay in for a longer period of time, right? Now, what's the problem with leaving with using this butterfly as an IV?
It irritates. It's so big.
Not only is it big, but this needle part, right, is under your skin, and it's hard, right? It's a needle that I'm sticking under your skin, and now you have this hard metal piece in your vein, which is hard, and you can't. It's hard to move, and it can puncture the vein, and it's a problem. I would much rather put something in there that's flexible. Right? Make sense? If I can get a tube in there, a thin tube, I'd be much happier, because then it won't puncture the vein, you can move a little bit. If you move a little bit, you're not going to destroy it, right? I mean, if you puncture the vein, and I'm dropping a liter of fluid into you, you don't have a liter of fluid in your arm that's not in your vein, very bad.
Can you make a comment about how the design of IV needles
is superior? No, the design of IV needles is superior to this butterfly business. This is why we have IVs. Okay? Because what I'd prefer is that if I had a tube that's flexible, would be much better.
So IV is a tube.
Yeah, but how, right? Okay, so I have this tube. How am I going to get the tube into your vein?
You have to.
Right? Tubes are not sharp, usually. They're not going to go into your vein, right? So an IV looks like this.
There's a box.
Right? With a very long needle.
There's a needle.
And on this needle is a tube.
And then the tube has like a fat thing over here so you can hold it with it, okay?
Okay? So what's going to happen is, you're going to poke the needle into the arm, right? It's going to go in. Yeah? I should really find one. And then the needle's now in the arm. You're standing there, right? The needle's in the arm. Right? And now I'm going to thread this tube into the arm over the needle. Right? And now this has some like connecting piece at the end that I can connect the tube to. So the fat piece is going to stay outside.
Then you see them pull out something.
Yeah. And then what I'm going to do is get this needle out of there and leave the tube in place. So there's usually a button. And you push a button and the needle retracts. You can also just pull it out. But you push a button, the needle retracts. You push the button, the needle retracts, the tube stays in place, and you attach the fluid to the tube. So now I've gotten the tube into this person's arm instead of a needle, which is far superior. I think it makes a lot of sense, right? Because it's not sharp, it's not hard. You put it in the arm, I have the tube, and I can attach something to it, fine, okay? The problem is that, look, now I'm going to hang a liter of fluid. I want to really, really, really make sure, if I poke you, you'll bleed. How do I know I'm in your vein? But I got to put the liquid, the fluid into your vein. How do I know I'm in your vein?
Bleeding when you puncture.
Yeah, you ever puncture, you ever scratch yourself, you bleed, right? You sure you hit a vein?
Capillaries,
yeah, you'll bleed a little bit also. So how do you know you're in a vein?
You bleed because it comes in spurts.
That's an artery. You don't want to put the IV into the artery. That's really deep and hurt. So what happens is there's this thing here, it's called a chamber. Right now, when you poke yourself, you only bleed a little bit. If I bleed into a vein, it's gonna come out with force, right? So what's happening is when I put this needle in, and if I hit just flesh, nothing happens. If I hit a vein, this chamber, blood will start traveling to the chamber, right? Now once this chamber fills up with blood, I know I'm in the vein. Once you're in the vein, okay, you push the tube forward, you push the button to attract the needle and attach the tube, right? Yeah? What's the status of this blood on Shabbos? Blood, we'll talk about it, but drawing blood on Shabbos, if I want the blood, is Nisa Daraisa. Can't do a blood test unless it's the Chol Sheish B'Sakana. Did I want this blood, or do I not want this blood?
You don't need it.
I know, but I don't need it, but I want it, right? I sort of both need it and don't need it.
Why do you want
it? I need to know I'm in the vein. It's a sign. I don't need the blood because it's blood, but I do need the blood because it's blood. I need the blood not because I want the blood to use it. I want the blood to know that I'm in the right place. I want the blood to know that I'm in the place where the blood exists. So I don't need the blood to test it, but I need the blood to know that, okay, you see the problem. This is going to be awesome. Maybe. Okay, this is my focus. This is going to be awesome. That we'll talk about maybe.
You don't really need the blood. You need the tube to go into the vein.
Yeah, but I only know because the blood came out.
So
I need the blood to come out to know that I'm in the right place. Otherwise, I won't know.
I mean, it has the same role as if it was like a pressure gauge.
Okay. But if the pressure gauge was the air coming out, I need a little bit of air. You can see why this is my focus, right?
Right.
It's not good. So we'll talk about it. So fine. So we give everyone an IV. It might involve Nisr. And so why do we give everyone an IV?
Because it's
Well, no, but you don't need an IV. Why do you need one? So why do you get it?
Just in case you need to do
it. Sorry.
Yeah, so this is what I have written down. My chief resident psychiatrist used to say, in medicine, there is science and there's religion. Certain things just became part of the Masorah. Everyone gets an IV. It makes, so, okay, that's still not enough reason to give her an IV. Because, you know, medicine has a Masorah. I think it makes most women feel better. They know there's an IV. Oh, anything happens, I'll be okay. It's not true. But anything happens, I'll be okay. Medically, it's not true. No. But anything that happens, I'll be okay. I think that qualifies maybe as Yeshiva Das. You're under the hospital's care. This is their protocol. There are a lot of protocols in hospitals. Not all of them make sense. This is the protocol. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm following the protocol. I'll be okay. So I think whatever you think, whether she needs it, she doesn't need it. Right, it's like a TV, but I think people, this is already medical. This is like more medically ready, right? So I think whatever you think of the status of the IV regarding the ISSA, whatever you think of the status of the IV regarding does she need it, does she not need it, we're talking here about a healthy woman in the 9th month, no complications. Anything more than the average, I'm saying average, it might only be 20% of women, this applies to. Whatever percentage of women are completely healthy, with no issues, with nothing at all going on, this might not be medically necessary, but Mishavadas, it should be fine. Right? Mishavadas, we should allow it. Now, many women might find it medically necessary, right? There is no perfect average standard woman. But for the perfect average standard woman, should she exist, we need to find a reason to give it to her. So I think the Mishavadas will work. Okay? Fine. So, one other part of Yishuv Hadas. So let's say,
so we talked about how when a woman is in labor, so she both becomes a Yoledet, there's a whole chase of Skana, and she becomes Nina. Right? So the husband cannot touch her. So many women, Jewish, non-Jewish alike, find it helpful to have physical contact during labor, massage, or other things to alleviate pain, right? You've probably seen people doing Lamaze. So Lamaze doesn't require touching, but it's more helpful. They hold hands, they breathe together, like the hee-hee-hee-hoo thing of thing. Whether that works, doesn't work. Some women swear by it, some women say it's so stupid. Some women don't want to have an epidural, some people have had bad experiences with epidural. Epidural is like an anesthesia you get into your back, so you feel less pain. It doesn't go away completely, but it's more manageable, people say. So, okay, some women don't want that, they have bad experiences, contraindicated, whatever it is. Many women are in labor for hours and hours and hours and hours, and you can't give them anesthesia for that long. So there's something called a doula.
Doula, I don't like cousins of doula.
Yeah? So they're usually women, although I know of a male doula, which is a little bit strange, but okay, you can do the same thing, right? They come and they're a coach. Right, you need to be coached, right? There are labor coaches, you have to coach the woman, but she has to participate, and this is painful, and she's tired. And maybe a little bit, you know, not all there. We can say that, because this is a class of men, even though we don't know. But we can admit that something's going on, right? There's always a hormonal imbalance going on that doesn't normally exist. We should be aware of it. Fine. So this woman who's a doula will come and will help the woman feel much better. So for some women who this helps, she'll coach her and help her massage her or do certain things and make her feel a lot better than she would have felt otherwise. Wonderful. That's great. Right? If a woman wants that, that's a wonderful thing. There are many, many studies trying to determine whether a doula will actually help medically or not. Medically, I mean by some outcome that we can measure. Will fewer babies be put into the ICU because of this is a healthier birth? Will there be fewer C-sections? Right, a C-section is considered to be a more makom sakana, and even in medicine, it's considered a lot more dangerous. Right, this is a surgery that we could try to, if we can avoid, we try to avoid. So, do doulas at least reduce the rate of ICU admissions, or do they reduce the rate of C-sections? I think the answer right now in America is no. In modern countries, where in the Western world, where we have modern medicine, technologically advanced, I believe, last time I checked the literature, the answer was this cannot be proven to reduce the rates of C-sections or of ICU admissions. Yeah, I'm not saying the woman doesn't feel a lot better. She might feel a lot better. But the medical outcome, we haven't reduced any sakana.
Like every holistic
model. In third world countries, it does reduce the rate of C-sections and ICU admissions. So, my opinion on that is likely in the less technologically advanced countries, or where there's less money available for medical, you know, procedures,
There's one doctor and 15 women. And 15 women are giving birth, and there's fewer staff on hand. So if a woman has a doula there to advocate for her and help her out, she's probably going to be better off than the woman who's being left alone. So you're right. You have to know your situation. So I don't, in this situation, the modern American hospital, at least in New York City, where you have at least non-tiny hospitals, talking about regular hospitals with regular medical care, this has not been shown to reduce the level of sakana. Okay? Fine. So can you mechal Shabbos to do this? For chalas sheyesh ba sakana? Well, it's not treating her in any way, right? Neither is it, but we didn't allow the TV.
Oh, okay.
We allowed the turning on the light. So let's say you have a Jewish doula, right? So if you have a non-Jewish doula,
wait, what's the shadow? What's it? Is one allowed?
So, okay, oh, good point. What is the woman doing? Is the doula doing anything that's chil Shabbos? Maybe the massage we shouldn't do for a bari. This woman's a cholos yesh ba sakana, right? For cholos ein bo sakana will allow you to do certain things. She's a chol, so whatever she's doing is fine. How's she going to get to the hospital? Right? How's the doula doesn't live with you? You call her when you're in labor, and she comes to meet you in the hospital. How is she going to get to the hospital? Okay? So, what she could do is, she is coming and helping you do something. So, I think most of them will allow her to do a miracle nafri. Take a cab, she can go to the hospital, it's fine. Right? Well, she's helping the patient in some way. Right? I think this is more Shar Tzrachav. Right, we talk about the candle. I don't know that the candle can be called Shar Tzrachav. I think the candle has three. I think you have a spectrum of what's treating the patient, Shar Tzrachav, and then this Yishuv Hadas, which is not even Shar Tzrachav. I think this is definitely considered Shar Tzrachav. It's giving her energy. It's giving her koach. Is it helping to alleviate the sakana? I don't think that's medically proven. It may be proven one day. Right now, it's not proven. I don't believe. Let's assume it's not, just for the sake of this discussion. It's definitely Shar Tzrachav. So Shar Tzrachav, the Mechaber said, violate Doraisis for, right? The Mishnah Berurah was less happy with. He wanted you to violate only Amir L'Nachri or Drabanans. So, fine. Certainly according to the Mishnah Berurah, she can take a cab and come to the hospital, and I believe that would be considered Shar Tzrachav, and help the woman out. And it gives her chizuk. It does help her body. The Mishnah Berurah there was careful. It's L'chazik es haguf. This is certainly giving her, making her body feel better and being able to. She believes, if the woman believes this is helping her in some way, that's certainly also important. If she believes this is helping her, the likelihood is it will help her. Right? Just from a mental perspective. So she can definitely take a cab. Can she drive to the hospital on Shabbos? So that's the shayla. So if it doesn't qualify as a sakana, so maybe a Shar Tzrachav from the Mechaber would be okay. Right? Maybe for the Mechaber, for the Shulchan Aruch, she could. What about for the Ramah, who doesn't allow this, though? Not so clear, right? What about the Yishuv Hadas? How far can we go with the Yishuv Hadas? But lighting a candle is also the Raisa. But we allow for the Yishuv Hadas.
Can I add a perspective?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of medicines in the town of Gora that we know now didn't work, or don't work in our time. So some people think that the doula helps, and some people think it doesn't help. So is that enough to say that maybe it's like the medicine?
Maybe it's a suffix. So say it's a suffix. I went and found you a meta-analysis of 50 different studies and told you it didn't work. It's not proven to help. It's not at least a suffix. So it's a suffix, Sakana. You're right. It's not proven. Maybe it'll help.
Isn't the issue that you're paying?
Hold on. No, she's going to not take money. She's helping you on Shabbos. You'll pay her for her tircha during the week. You're not going to pay. You're not going to pay the doctor either, right? It's Shabbos.
Right.
The doctor's not allowed to charge you at all. We talked about this last semester. How can the doctor charge you? He's doing a mitzvah.
Yeah.
He's doing a mitzvah. Okay, so fine. We find somebody. Shabbos, okay. The doctor's going to be there also. So we'll leave the money aside for a minute.
Right.
But right. So why not just say this is a suffix? A suffix are coming. It's not proven. You're right, it's not proven. Is it disproven? I don't think it's disproven. Is it proven? No. So you could either take a suffix are coming, and it's fine. Suffix sakana is enough, right? It doesn't have to be a vadei sakana. Suffix sakana is enough. You could then say yishuv hadas, right? Remember, I said shar tzrachav, yes, right? I think it is shar tzrachav. Even yishuv hadas, we're allowing you to light a candle, which is a daraisa. So is this even, you're saying, let's say this doesn't help. Doesn't really help at all. Doesn't help. But the woman hired this woman and is paying her money to be there with her. She probably thinks this is helpful, right? So she's, we'll tell her, you know what? You're fooling yourself and it's not really helpful and we'll give her a lecture later. But now she's in labor. We're not going to give her any lecture. It's Yishuv Hadas! Is this enough to be Yishuv Hadas to let her drive to the hospital? Now realize when she drives to the hospital.
It's practically it's even more than Yishuv Hadas.
It sounds more than the candle, right? Now the issue is when she drives.
It's like having a midwife there.
It is, but she's not. So the difference is, some posts come on this idea, the difference is she's not actually participating in the labor process. She's not actually doing anything. Let's say you need two, let's say it's twins. Let's say you have twins. You need two midwives, right? Because one for each baby, and what's she going to do with the first baby? After you give birth to the first baby, what's she going to do with it? You need to have two people there, right? So you need to call two people, and they're not together, the two people, Michal Shabbos. So this woman needs two people. Why? For whatever reason, she needs two people. Could be. So some posts can they'll say, same thing, two midwives, same idea, mutter. Some posts can say, she's not actually involved with anything. It's not really Isha Badas. The candle was, she wants the midwife to be involved with the labor. It has to be more relevant to her actually giving birth. So it's not considered Isha Badas. So there's a machlokes posting whether the doula is considered to be part of the Isha Badas or not, based on whether the Isha Badas has to do just with her mental state per se, or with the mental state relating to the specifics of actually giving birth. And the lighting the candle was, she'll feel better that she could give birth in a more medically appropriate way. When the candle's lit, everything, all the medical benefits will be taken care of. The doula does not provide that. So even though if she can drive, she still has the same problem as the husband who drove. She also can't drive past the entrance, can't park her car, turn it off. So practically, again, this is the United States of America, this is New York, just take a cab and Shalom Al Yisrael, it's a lot easier to deal with. You can take a cab and you'll be fine. Or you can go during the week. You don't have to go on Shabbos. You could also find someone to sub for you on Shabbos. There are other ways to get around this, but some poskim will allow it. Some poskim will allow it. Will allow you to drive on Shabbos to do this. Some poskim will not allow her to drive on Shabbos to do this. The easiest way, even if you can drive on Shabbos, you're still stuck with the same driving issues that you had before. While you're driving, remember we said no shinuyim while you're driving. Even though you have to do shinuyim because it's for a laboring woman, you have to do shinuyim. We don't make any shinuyim while we're driving because you can cause an accident, and that's a kind of process. But nonetheless, you can't drive past the entrance. You can't drive. So I think you have to drive past the entrance because then you're blocking the next husband from coming through with his wife to have a baby, and so that would both be second stafajas. So you have to move past the entrance, but you can't look for parking, and you also can't shut off your car. So yes, if there's valet, you're okay because you can use a valet. Assuming that you think you can drive on Shabbos, that the woman can drive on Shabbos, and there's valet, she can do that. Alternatively, she could just take a cab, and it's a lot easier. Fine, but the question is, how do we define the Yishuv Hadas in a very specific way? So today we have that benefit of looking at medicine's effectiveness in the far more specific and technical way than they ever could in the past. So the question is, does that apply? We say this is a suffix, and suffixes are kind of sufficient. Or we say no. Yeah, that was sufficient when they didn't have actual statistics. When they don't have statistics, maybe a suffix would not be sufficient. Depends on what the suffix is. Fine, so machlokas by the doula. Okay. Fine. So now, okay. So that was the Isha Badas part. So now we're going to see the Rambam. Okay, so we said that the woman needs to have a shinui, right? So there's an interesting Brisker Rav. So the Brisker Rav says on the Rambam, is in Perek Beis. He has a problem. Let's see the Rambam on labor.
So she can drive herself, or?
So it's machlokes of the current poskim. Whether that's considered to be enough Yishuv Hadas. Some poskim say yes, some poskim say no. Even of those who say yes, I'm just pointing out she still has the same driving practical problems as anybody else. And so practically, if you can drive, if there's no valet or a little bit of a break, and it's always just better to take a cab. Because then you violate fewer Yisurim, and usually, again, not a rule, the woman has a little bit of time to get there, and she can drive faster and can't come. Not going to make a 3-hour difference, but about like a 10-15 minute difference. It's usually not going to affect any way. Even on the side of the suffix, that there is a difference, those couple minutes won't matter, because usually women are in labor for period of time, not 5-10 minutes. So this is the Rambam. Wow, I can't read this at all. Okay, hello. You know, well, okay. That's not so big. Okay, so I guess I'll read it. Fine. So the Rambam says
the following.
Okay, can you read it? Yeah, I'll read it on the screen. So Hayoled, this woman who's giving birth, she kishek orasli, when she is birthing, Haredim sakanas nefashos. She's considered to be in the Malkum sakanas nefashos of Chol Shiyishma sakana. Umechal in the last of Shabbos. And we violate Shabbos for her. Anything you need. Karla kachamim Malkum Malkum. You can call the midwife even if you have to go far than you're allowed to normally walk on Shabbos. Bechoshim at the cover. You can cut the umbilical cord of Koshmel, so you can cut it, you can tie the umbilical cord off. We might have trickle in there, and she needs a candle. Bishasi Tzolekes Bechavaleah. When she's screaming out in the contractions, that's what he says. But living less on there, you light a candle. I feel like it's a suma, and even if she's one. We may should like to be a Shabbos alive in there. Of course, it's just Yishav Adas. She's much more settled when the candle's lit. That would be Shabbos. Oh, because she can't see, knowing that the candle is lit, will give her a lot more Yishav Adas. She will be a lot more confident in life.
So TV will be okay.
So that's what we talked about. Why does she need a candle? The candle here is being lit, so that the Gemara is clear that the candle is being lit, so that the midwife can do her job better. So the question is the TV going to allow a healthier birth? Is that really going to happen or not? Here, at least it's related to the birth. So you have to judge whether this is... I would assume that the general rule, like you said, the general rule by TV would be no. The general rule, but there are going to be exceptions when it's actually going to be necessary. If she's really, like, not coming down, I think most women can come down without television. Right, I think most people can. Some can come down with television. However, not everybody, and especially in the situation where she might be freaking out, she needs more than she normally does. I'm not saying it's, you're right? So in most cases, I think the general answer would be no, with exception. Fine. Okay. Might for the seven pants from the law, and if she needs oil or something else, you bring it. Right? We don't know why we need oil, but okay, you need oil. The Chalosh after the Shah, so now he says fine. So that was clear, right? There was no, we knew all that. The Chalosh after the Shah knows the Shah, and anytime you make a Shinu, you do, when you're bringing all that stuff to her, you should change. You should do a Shinu, because you should probably look very quickly beside her. The Ram says you should take the jug of pitcher and tie it into your hair, bring it in your hair, not in your hand, Shinu. But if you can't, so you bring it normally. Okay, so that's the Rambam, which is all the things we knew ahead of time. Okay? So the Brisker Rav says the following. If you read the Rambam carefully, he thinks there are two parts of this halacha. He says, we really can't see any of this, so I'm going to turn it off. He says the following. He says, the Rambam says that she's both a Yoledes and a Cholash Yeish Basakana. He says she's at the point, remember we talked about the Simane Leida, when she becomes a Yoledes? He says at that point she's a Cholash Yeish Basakana. Right? And she's a regular Cholash Yeish Basakana. And when the Rambam says you have to do a Shinui, he was talking about before. Meaning we're going to recognize two distinct stages. When she's actively, when she hits the Simane, right? She has a Simane, the Simane Leida, the signs of birth, signs of Leida. Right, so you have this timeline, and it's going to be birth, right, and it's going to be labor, okay? So, he's saying the following, birth is a cholos yesh basakam, so from, I'm sorry, that's not correct. From here on, she's a cholos yesh basakam. From somewhere here, don't know where, to here, she's called the Yoledes. Okay? So Biskarov's point. So what? Says Rachol Shayesh Masakana, you don't need a Shinui, according to the Rambam. Only for this Yoledes you need a Shinui. Right? While she's called this Yoledes, she's in this weird status, you're right. She doesn't need a Shinui. Once this happens, and until 3 days later, right?
2 hours later. 2 hours, sorry. After birth.
Right, we said a woman after she gives birth for 3 days, 72 hours, is a Chol Shiyish Basakana. It starts here. Chol Shiyish Basakana until then.
So like signs of later would be like her time frame fully?
No. But we talk about the period here. Either she starts bleeding. That's a very scientific way of viewing it. But either she starts bleeding, or she sits on the birthing stool, or she can no longer walk again, the Gemara says. So whenever those happen, now do you need one of them to happen or three of them to happen before you can not point to the Biskarov? Interesting, not urgent. At this point, the whole Shakespeare Sakana, here you need a scenery, he says, and here you need no scenery. No scenery necessary. Right? According to the Rambam. The Rambam says normally a whole Shakespeare Sakana doesn't need a scenery. The difference is a Yoledes, right? A Yoledes is an exception to the rule. He says the exception is only at the beginning. He says why? He says she's considered a Yoledes, and the Yoledes is going to allow us to be Dosha Shabbos. In addition to being a Yoledes, she's also a Cholos Yishma Sakana. Right? And therefore, okay, fine. Once she has one or all three, that's Machlokes, the symptoms described, she's a full fledged Cholos Yishma Sakana, and the unique Yoledes oriented requirements for Shanim should no longer apply. Okay? That's the Brisker Rav. Right? So he has, at this point, no shinui is necessary. For the actual birth itself, you don't need to have shinui. It's all the preparations beforehand. That makes a lot of sense, right? Is she really a cholos yishma sakana at this point? You want to say labor, yeah. You want to say when she's having the baby, actually having the baby, yes. Beforehand, we're sort of preparing for it. You need shinui. Now, we mentioned before, it's my mention again, I just have it written here. So, even in this period where she's considered to be a yoledes and you need to do shinui, right? If there's something that's going to avoid a sakana later that I need to do now, we're going to do it now. Right? If it needs to be done now, so then you have to do it normally now to avoid a sakana, just like anything else happens, right? This is things that could be done with the shinui without a change. So like, if you need to have the light on for her, you have to use your elbow. Does it have to be this second? And if it happens a couple seconds later, is it going to be much of an issue? If it is, so then it will. If not, so then not. Can you write normally with your right hand your notes? She's going to be in labor, you think, for the next 5-6 hours. Could you write your? So you have to write down her blood pressure because you have to monitor her blood pressure. If blood pressure gets too high or too low, it's going to be a makom sakana. Okay? It's going to be a makom sakana. But right now, it's fine. Right now, her blood pressure is perfect. But I need to record that, so I know. So can I write it with my normally? I would think not. Of course not. You have to use a shinui. It doesn't matter if I write it this second or 5 seconds later, or if I use my left hand and it takes me a little bit longer. There's no difference. She's going to be in labor for a long time, right? This, we're not, no effect on anyone's health. You have to use a shinui. But when there will be an effect on the health, so then you do whatever you need. So the Mishnah Berurah already says, yeah, if you wait to call the midwife until this happens, by the time you get to the midwife, she'll have the baby. You haven't accomplished anything. So certainly you can go beforehand. Now he's talking about Tchumen, right? On Shabbos you can only go X number of Amas outside of the city. That's Daraisa. Okay? You can't Mishanah that. There's no way to Mishanah getting there, right? You're just going, they're walking, they're taking a horse, or whatever it is. They're traveling. You can't mishanda the traveling, you have to go. So he says, maybe you can't do it beforehand because you can't do a bishinui. He says, no, it's something that you're going to need now and you can do after the point of the Siman Eleida, where she's going to be a Chol Shish Masakana. And you're going to need it, and you can only start the process by going now, because of course you don't have the same thing today with driving to the hospital. You don't have to wait for the Siman Eleida to drive to the hospital. You drive to the hospital even though you can't do the rites without a shinui beforehand. Yeah, you can't do the rites without a shinui. They're not going to have any effect on you later. This is going to have a very important effect on you later. You have to drive now, otherwise you won't be able to drive at all. Fine. So too, let's say a woman, so before she gives birth, we test her for a strep. This is G beta strep. There's a different type of strep than you get in your strep throat. There's the strep of the vaginal canal. Now, why do we care if she has strep in the vaginal canal? It can be very bad for the child. It can cause meningitis, right? It can cause meningitis.
What's that?
Meningitis is inflammation of the coverings of the brain. Doesn't sound good, right? And brain inflammation, not good. Very, very, very bad. It has a high mortality. It's very bad. But we can completely eliminate, I think eliminate, if not eliminate, then it's really, really close. It's really good, right? If we give the woman IV penicillin in the middle of labor, or at some point in labor, we can almost, I think, I'm not going to say definitely, because there's no definitely, we can seriously reduce, if not completely eliminate, the chance of the child getting meningitis from the mother, from the labor process. Okay? But that has to be done early. Now we talk about the IV, putting in the IV, it's IV penicillin. So she gets tested like 2 weeks before she's supposed to give birth. And it comes back, and let's say she's positive. So it means that you can't, you have to, you need IV penicillin for like a couple of hours before you have a baby, and we will almost completely eliminate this chance. That's mamas pikuach nefesh. A baby, a newborn with meningitis is pikuach nefesh, right? A newborn within 30 days of life that has a fever must be rushed to the hospital immediately because they might have meningitis and you won't be able to tell because they can't complain to you. Right? It's a high chance, high risk of it, and we need to treat it immediately. So what about putting in the IV for this woman with penicillin? Can you do it? Of course you can do it. Aye, but it needs a shinui. It might be the rice. It needs a shinui. You're right. You can't put, so first of all, practically can't put in an IV with a shinui. Don't ever let a doctor or a nurse put in an IV with a shinui. They might hurt you. Right? That's not good. You only do a shinui when you can. But certainly this is going to be mutter. This is pikuach nefesh mamish. And it must be done at some point before. So it may happen here. And if it happens, depending on the woman and how far she's in labor, if it has to happen here before the simane later, while it requires a shinui, say, I don't say, I have to wait, it needs a shinui. No, this is preventing pikuach nefesh. It can't be done later. It has to be done now. It's just like the Mishnah Berurah is calling the midwife. It's just like us traveling to the hospital. It's the same thing. She needs to have this earlier. She needs to have this. It's going to potentially save her child's life. Right? This is a serious thing. Go ahead and do it. Okay? Fine. So that's so much for the stages of labor. We'll do a little bit more now on two different things, and then we'll continue next time. So, planning for labor. So, okay, there's 6 days of the week, right? So 6 days of the week, none of this applies. All the helpers need this still applies, all during the week. This only applies to Shabbos. So Sefer Chassidim says, you know, when it's, Sefer Chassidim says two things. First of all, if it's the end of the ninth month, right, and the wife's in labor, so you're going to need hot water. I don't know. They needed hot water. I mean, it makes sense. They needed to clean their hands, maybe. You need to wash your hands with hot water. You need to clean things to have the baby. And they didn't know what sterility meant, but they knew clean was better than dirty. So you have to have hot water. So he says, so prepare the hot water before Shabbos, right? Think a little bit beforehand. You have to plan before Shabbos to maybe have a baby on Shabbos. So, yes, if all of a sudden she goes into labor on Shabbos, you don't have hot water, and you think it's necessary to keep her, the woman healthy, you're going to start a fire and boil water, right? But he says you should try to plan ahead and do this before Shabbos. Right, and the Mishnah Berurah says this applies to all things you need before Shabbos. You should really plan ahead and do these things. So, women usually have a bag that they have ready to go to mom and day, right? You take a bag to the hospital with your stuff. You need to take your Crocs. You want to bring your telephone, right? So you can call your mother after you have the baby. You want to call your friends and want to have a book and have a robe and all sorts of things, right? Your iPod, whatever. So maybe before Shabbos, you should take out the most items, right? You'll get them most of Shabbos. You can't listen to them anyway on Shabbos. You'll bring them most of Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you take those most items out of the bag, right? There's certain things in the bag you need in order to, you need, want to be dressed, you want to have clothing, so you have, right? Not the hospital gown necessarily, so I think that'll be okay. Take your own things with you, but not those things that you can't take. You have to prepare ahead of time before Shabbos. You should set aside, right? We said either practically in the tri-state area for sure, you should either call a hotel or an ambulance or take a cab, right? Either it's an emergency or you take a cab. So you should set aside money for the cab. You shouldn't have to start flipping through your bills, right? Set aside a $20 bill and put it on the side so you don't have to start touching unnecessary muktzah. If you didn't prepare, of course we're going to allow you to do it, but these are things you can plan ahead, right? Have a $20 bill ready to, or 10, depending on how far away you're from the hospital. Yeah.
My brother, do you think, you said that
yes.
Do you think you should have been having your carry your cell phone that Shabbos?
I wouldn't have been able to help her. And we called the cell phone.
That might mean you didn't get home instead.
Maybe I should have stayed home. I mean, no, she called, meaning she didn't realize she should call the cell. She went to take my wife out to the cab.
Why didn't you bring your cell phone with you? So if she went into labor, then you could.
I mean, already, then why not just go to shul? Meaning, what's the heter to carry the cell phone at that point?
Because, like, then the doctor shouldn't go to shul, he should just stay at the hospital, right?
Maybe should. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. It's a different question.
But
why?
I see doctors in shul.
Doctors are in shul, so we say that's okay. So, meaning, maybe she should be carrying her cell phone. Well, it's up. She doesn't really need me. She needs it's up, not me. Right? Maybe she should have walked around with a cell phone so that if she couldn't reach a phone, she can get a phone. Maybe. But there's no reason for me to carry the cell phone. Her calling me is just convenience. Right? She really needs that's up. Or a cab. So, meaning you should prepare the dollars ahead of time, right? And if you're going to carry it outside and you have time, let's say you have time, right? If you don't have time, you run. You call the ambulance, whatever. If you have time, so you shouldn't carry it normally. You should carry it machinery. Put it in your sock. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your belt. you can plan these things ahead of time if you can, right? Don't make yourself crazy, but if you think it's going to happen on Shabbos, so you should plan ahead of time, prepare the money ahead of time. You need your medical ID cards, right? Because you won't be able to be let into the hospital without them. There are hospitals like that. So, but it's in your wallet with your credit cards. Credit cards are mukta. So if you need to take it, you take it, right? But maybe you can pull them out ahead of time before Shabbos, and you put them on the side, and then you can just take your health insurance cards, right? Without your credit cards, because they're not necessary. So if there are things you can plan reasonably beforehand, you should plan reasonably beforehand. So the question is, then the question is, okay, maybe you should just sleep at the hospital. Right? Maybe you should sleep really close to the hospital. So most folks can say, that far you don't have to go. Right? You have to inconvenience yourself, you have to plan, but you don't have to make yourself completely crazy. Some folks can think, really, 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 you should, if it's not the biggest deal, if it's your first kid, let's say, so you don't have the kids at home, maybe you should really sleep really close to the hospital. Find someone really close. You don't live close, find someone who lives closer. Why? Even if you pull a cab. It's less of a chil Shabbos to drive shorter distance. Okay, so some folks can feel that way. That if you can, you should try to stay closer to the hospital.
Even if a woman is going to be in a bad state of mind as she's approaching probably her.
So it depends where you have to stay. So find a firm person in the house to stay by that's closer to the hospital. Okay, it's not always possible. Not every woman wants to be in someone else's house. Okay, so it depends on the woman also. It depends on the posek. Most posek can assume not. Rav Shachter thinks this is actually a good idea, that you should try to be closer to the hospital. So here, I think we're pretty close to Columbia, but if you're not delivering in Columbia, you're delivering somewhere else. So maybe you should try to stay somewhere. If you're delivering in Queens, maybe you should try to stay in Queens for Shabbos. Okay. And he thinks if it's not the biggest deal for the woman, now it's going to depend on each woman and her state of mind. Right? Then it's something to consider. Fine. Just two other points. The Sefer Chassidim says you should even daven on Erev Shabbos that your wife is not going to labor on Shabbos. Now why? Not because it's usher. Just because, like, it involves all these shaylas, and you have to pass through all these shaylas. And yes, even you, right? And so it's easier to daven to avoid all situations. You go into labor once you're Shabbos. Most women, or before Shabbos, doesn't matter. But you should daven, the Sefer Chassidim says, this is quoted in Poskim, that we should daven to avoid having to deal with any of these issues. So the modern day, as opposed to Rav Shechter, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is in his Tshuvas and in Shmir Shabbos. He says, look, if it's difficult, you don't have to stay close to the hospital. And for most people, it's going to be difficult. She's 9 months pregnant. She's not comfortable, right? I mean, just not a good place to be. She's going to be at home in her comfort zone. And if it's going to be more than that, if it's too much for her, look, if her parents live right next to, right, if her parents live close to the hospital, and she can say, I go to my parents' house, so then maybe that's what you should do. That makes a lot of sense, right? She's going to be comfortable there, let's say. If she'll be comfortable there, then maybe you have to do that. But if she's not going to be comfortable, she has no idea anyone who lives close to the hospital, so then it's not going to be difficult for her. It's not going to be necessary. Okay, fine. We'll stop here. We'll start on Monday there's a quiz. I'm not going to be here. It's going to be given in Rabbi Kolinsky's office. Either him or Shirley, the secretary, on the 6th floor. It'll be the same one page, two sides, same idea. There's a place to take it. It should take 15 minutes to take, no longer than that. We'll reconvene on Wednesday. We'll finish up, hopefully, pregnancy, labor, nursing. And then we have class next Wednesday, and then the Monday after that. And then the Wednesday after that, we have a final. The final is going to be on pregnancy, childbirth, nursing, and whatever else we get to. It will be twice the length of a regular test. Hold on.